Welcome to this special edition Magic Towns Italy podcast. Today we focus on the sweeping changes to Italy's citizenship law and what alternative pathways to living in Italy exist for those that have been cut out by the reform. Let's dive right in.
Welcome to this special edition of the Magic Towns Italy podcast. I'm Miles, coming to you from Rome.
And I'm Alessia Bolt, beaming in from Florence. Today we're diving into the recent Italian citizenship law changes and the other avenues left for anyone who no longer qualifies for citizenship by ancestry under the new law.
You had that dream, didn't you? The one about Italy, maybe reconnecting with your roots, finding that ancestral village, or maybe just planning to retire under the Mediterranean sun. You felt that real heart-pounding anticipation about claiming Italian citizenship, and then, bang, the news hit. For many of you, that feeling turned into something that felt, well, like losing the match, as the team at Magic Towns Italy puts it.
That sentiment is really strong in the insights they've shared. They've been right there, haven't they, with expats and retirees watching this landscape shift so dramatically.
And the big shift, the really abrupt change that redefined eligibility for so many, is Italy's significant citizenship law reform. Well, it's firmly in place now for 2025.
It's a fundamental change. Our mission, guided by the expertise from the Magic Towns Italy team, is to cut through the noise here. We need to understand exactly what this reform means for those with Italian heritage and crucially explore the alternative legal pathways.
Because look, if that citizenship door seems closed for you right now, it doesn't mean all the other doors are locked shut. Not at all. Maybe you're listening because this news directly hits your plans, or maybe you're just deeply curious about how Italy is navigating this whole connection with its global diaspora. Either way, we're going to explore these routes together.
Okay, so let's start by unpacking this major citizenship reform, Italy's 2025 law. It represents a big pivot, doesn't it? From a policy that was, frankly, very broad to one that's much,
much more constrained now. Yeah, the core immediate change is huge. Automatic citizenship by bloodline, that jus sanguinis route that literally millions of descendants were counting on, it's simply not automatic for many anymore. The major new limitation is this two-generation limit.
Basically, to qualify for citizenship based on ancestry under these new rules, you must have an Italian-born parent or an Italian-born grandparent.
That's the cutoff.
That's the cutoff. If your closest Italian ancestor is a great-grandparent, or even further back, the lineage chain for automatic citizenship ends right there.
And they've brought in this concept of the effective bond requirement, the vincolo effettivo. It's not just about proving the bloodline on paper anymore, is it?
No, not at all. To get citizenship automatically now, you need to show tangible ties. This generally means things like recent family residence in Italy or that direct closer parental link we just mentioned.
Okay, but there are some critical exceptions to this new limit, right?
Yes, absolutely. And this is important.
If your citizenship was already formally recognized before March 28th, 2025, maybe by a consulate or through a court ruling, you're safe. You're under the old rules. That's a huge relief, I bet, for those who just made it under the wire.
And also, if one of your parents was actually born in Italy, you still qualify. That direct first-generation link remains strong.
And what about if your parent wasn't born in Italy, but maybe lived there?
Yeah, there's a provision for that, too. If your parent lived in Italy as an Italian citizen for at least 2 years before you were born, that connection is also considered a sufficient bond.
Got it. Now, the source did flag one aspect, something introduced in the Senate.
Potentially stricter condition, and it's causing some concern. It might require the Italian-born parent or grandparent to have held only Italian citizenship at the time of their death. Yeah, this could potentially impact quite a few descendants whose ancestors naturalized elsewhere, became citizens of another country, and it's understandably seen as quite controversial.
Okay, here's where that losing the match feeling probably hits hardest for some. It's incredibly challenging emotionally and practically for those who invested so much time, money, and hope into the previous process.
So given all this, is the government doing anything to acknowledge the huge number of people this reform affects?
Well, they have promised something. They've announced these new Oriundi work permits. This is intended as a specific pathway for descendenti from countries with large Italian diasporas like Argentina, Brazil, and the United States to get a special work visa category that would sit outside the normal immigration quotas.
Ah, okay. So a dedicated visa just for those folks who lost eligibility through the reform. What's the actual goal there? Is it just work?
The stated purpose seems to be to make it easier for them to live and work in Italy compared to other non-EU foreigners. It's being framed as a potential pathway toward eventual naturalization down the line.
Maybe trying to soften the blow of losing that direct citizenship route? That sounds potentially good, but what's the catch?
The main catch is that as of right now, in May 2025, the details are still completely unclear. We just don't have specifics on eligibility criteria, the application process, or even how far back the ancestry needs to go to qualify for this particular permit. It seems, based on initial indications, that this permit might only be intended for traditional employee roles, meaning it could exclude those who are freelancers or people living off independent means. But again, details are pending.
Okay, so the big picture here is that direct automatic path through jus sanguinis has changed massively. So the conversation now really has to shift, doesn't it? It has to be about exploring the existing regular immigration visas, or maybe looking into other EU citizenships if that happens to be an option for you. That's exactly where we need to go.
It's not the end of the Italian dream. Absolutely not. But the journey, no, it just looks different now for many people.
Okay, so given these citizenship changes, let's pivot now. Let's explore the main immigration routes still available for non-EU nationals. We'll try to tackle them roughly from what might be considered easier to harder, depending on your circumstances, of course.
Sounds good. The first option, often seen as the most straightforward in terms of red tape, if, and it's a big if, you meet the financial requirements, is the elective residence visa.
Right, the ERV. Think of this as Italy's visa for people with independent financial means, sometimes called the retirement visa, though it's not just for retirees.
Exactly. The core idea is simple. You live in Italy and you support yourself entirely from your existing passive income. The crucial point here, and they are strict on this, is that no employment is allowed under this visa. You cannot work in Italy at all.
Okay, so what's the key requirement then? Money, presumably?
Money, specifically stable, sufficient passive income. And it needs to be well above the Italian average minimum wage. The source gives a clear benchmark, roughly 31,000 euros per year for a single person, give or take, based on current figures.
31,000 euros, okay. And for a couple?
For a couple, it jumps to about 38,000, plus you need an extra 6,000 to 7,000 per dependent child. And crucially, this income must be passive. We're talking pensions, investment income, rental income from properties you own, no salary, no active business profits count toward this threshold.
Wow. Okay. And you also mentioned needing housing beforehand.
Yes. You need to have secured housing before you apply. That means either having purchased a property in Italy or having signed a long-term rental contract. Minimum one-year lease. A short-term holiday rental won't cut it. Plus, you need private health insurance covering you in Italy, and you have to sign a formal declaration stating you will not seek work in Italy.
So what are the biggest hurdles then? That income level sounds pretty high, especially the passive part.
Consulates are also known to be quite cautious, especially with younger applicants. They worry you might try to find work under the table. And then there's that tricky catch-22. You have to commit financially to housing, often paying significant rent up front or buying property before you even know if your visa will be approved. That's a big risk.
Definitely. And what about taxes once you get it?
Right. Once you get the IRV and establish residency, you become an Italian tax resident. That generally means your worldwide income is taxable in Italy, although some potential tax breaks might apply, like the 7% flat tax for pensioners moving to certain southern regions, or the res non dom regime for very high net worth individuals, but those have specific conditions and rights. So no work, not even remote work for a foreign company explicitly.
That generally includes remote work for a foreign company while residing in Italy under this visa. You can, however, manage your existing foreign investments or oversee a foreign business you already own, as long as you're not actively working in Italy.
Can family join?
Family reunification is possible, yes, but you'll need to show even higher passive income to support them. This visa does count toward long-term residency after 5 years and potentially citizenship by naturalization after 10 years, provided you meet all the conditions each year for renewal, including the income and no work rules.
So, bottom line for the ERV, if you've got significant verifiable passive income, maybe you're a retiree with solid pensions or substantial investments, this is often the path with the least complicated bureaucracy, even if the financial bar is high.
Moving on. A newer and quite exciting option, particularly for the modern flexible workforce, is the digital nomad visa, the lavoro da remoto. This is specifically designed for individuals who work remotely, but for companies or clients outside of Italy.
Ah, the DNV. Okay, so the core idea here is straightforward. You get to live the Italian dream while keeping your remote job or freelance gigs based overseas. But similar to the ERV, you cannot take on local Italian employment with this visa, right?
Correct. No working for Italian companies. The key requirements here are different from the ERV, though. You need to be classified as a highly qualified remote worker.
Highly qualified. What does that mean in practice?
It usually implies a certain level of education or professional skill, and there's an income threshold, but it's calculated differently. It's tied to the Italian minimum income required to be exempt from healthcare contributions, and you need at least 3 times that amount. This minimum works out to about 24,789 euros annually in 2025, but realistically aiming for around 28,000 is safer.
And that income must come from remote work.
Yes, exclusively from your remote work activities. Passive income doesn't count toward this visa's threshold. You also need to show at least 6 months of relevant work experience, provide proof of your professional qualifications, like a university degree or evidence of specialized skills, have a clean criminal record, secured housing in Italy, and appropriate health insurance.
This documentation might vary a bit if you're an employee versus a freelancer, I imagine.
Exactly. Pay stubs, contracts, client invoices, that sort of thing. The main obstacles, while that income threshold, though lower than the ERV, might still be high for some remote workers. And because it's a relatively new visa, the specific procedures and interpretations can still vary between consulates, adding uncertainty.
Right, teething problems. And of course, that restriction on earning any income from Italian sources remains.
The visa is typically valid for 1 year initially and is renewable annually as long as you continue to meet the conditions.
But the big plus here seems to be the work and residency rights. You can live anywhere in Italy, work remotely for your foreign clients or employer, and crucially, this visa is not subject to those annual quotas, the decreto flussi, that plague traditional work permits. That's a huge advantage.
Family members can usually join, provided you can show sufficient additional funds to support them. This legal residency fully counts toward long-term residency after 5 years and citizenship after 10.
So, bottom line for the digital nomad visa, a promising option for skilled remote professionals who meet that income level and want to experience Italy without needing local employment or huge passive wealth. It bypasses a lot of the old work permit headaches.
Definitely one to watch and explore. Okay, let's look at a third option. One that can be a strategic entry point for some, the study visa or visto di studio. This involves, as the name suggests, enrolling in a recognized Italian educational institution.
All right. Going back to school in Italy, the basic idea is you get a residence permit for the duration of your studies. It might be temporary initially, but it's a well-established pathway and potentially a stepping stone.
Exactly. You need to be accepted into a qualifying program, could be a university degree, postgraduate studies, or even a certified intensive language course. Interestingly, there aren't typically explicit age limits for this visa category, which opens it up.
Oh, that's interesting. So requirements, acceptance letter, obviously. What about money?
The financial bar here is significantly lower than for the ERV or even the DNB. You need to show you have access to funds to cover your living costs. Figures are around 450 to 500 euros per month. So roughly 6,000 euros for a full academic year, but always check current amounts, plus proof of accommodation, health insurance, and your past educational certificates.
And the source mentioned that financial proof could even come from a sponsor. That sounds much more accessible. A family member providing an affidavit of support makes it viable for many younger people or those without substantial savings. The main obstacle, if you want to call it that, is that you are genuinely tied to your studies.
You have to actually study.
You have to actually study to renew the permit each year. You need to remain enrolled and demonstrate academic progress, usually by passing a certain number of exams. So it's a real commitment, and you need to use that time wisely to figure out your next step if staying long-term is the goal. Student time doesn't count one-to-one toward long-term residency requirements. 2 years of study might only count as 1 year toward that LTR clock.
Okay, but what about work rights? Can students work at all?
Yes, they can. Students are allowed to work part-time up to 20 hours per week with an annual cap of 1,040 hours. More importantly, there's the possibility of conversion. You can often convert your student permit directly into a work permit without going through the quota system if you find a qualifying job offer after you finish your studies. And in some cases, even before graduation, once you convert to a work permit, that time starts counting fully toward LTR and the 10-year citizenship clock.
Oh, okay. So that's the strategic angle. Use the study visa to get in, learn the language, make connections, and then hopefully find a job to convert the permit?
Precisely. Bottom line for the study visa, often the most financially accessible way to get your foot in the door legally. Legitimate, improve skills and can transition to something more permanent, especially useful for younger adults or those seeking a career pivot.
Makes sense. Okay, the fourth pathway, family reunification or recongiumento familiare. Yeah, this sounds self-explanatory. Joining family already in Italy.
Exactly, and it's often the smoothest path bureaucracy-wise if you have that qualifying family tie. The idea is simple. You're sponsored based on a genuine family, a family relationship.
What kind of family ties count? I guess marriage is the big one.
Marriage to an Italian citizen is definitely a major one, especially relevant if, say, a descendant meets and marries an Italian. If you marry an Italian citizen legally residing in Italy, you generally have a more straightforward route thanks to EU free movement laws.
How so?
You can often get a 5-year residence card, the Carta di Soggiorno per Familiari, OWI, often without needing to prove a fixed income level or pass a language test up front, which is required for many other permits.
And marriage to an Italian also speeds up citizenship, doesn't it?
Significantly. If you're married to an Italian citizen and living in Italy, you can apply for Italian citizenship yourself after just 2 years of marriage. But that's much faster than the standard 10-year naturalization path based on residency alone.
Wow. Okay. What other family ties work? Parents, children?
Yes. Joining a parent or a minor child who is an Italian citizen or a legal resident is possible. The source points out that joining adult children or your parents if they are in Italy can be trickier. You usually need to prove you are financially dependent on them, which is difficult for healthy adults. Spouses and minor children are generally the most straightforward cases.
Right. And requirements. Proof of the relationship, obviously. What else?
Proving the relationship with official documents, birth or marriage certificates is key. The sponsoring relative in Italy needs to show adequate accommodation for you. And there's a fairly new rule as of 2024. If the sponsor is a non-EU resident themselves, they must have already lived legally in Italy for at least 2 years before they can sponsor their spouse or parents.
Ah, okay, another hurdle there.
Yes. On top of meeting the usual income and housing size requirements, spouses of Italian or EU citizens don't face that 2-year waiting period for the sponsor.
So major obstacles, needing that specific immediate family tie, potential bureaucratic delays with Nuova Hosta, and the difficulty proving dependency for adult relatives and extended family, siblings, cousins, can't sponsor you this way.
No, typically not under this route. It's usually limited to spouses, minor children, and dependent parents or adult children.
But the payoff is big if you qualify. What about work lights?
That's a major advantage. A residence permit obtained through family reunification allows you to live and work freely in Italy. For any employer or even self-employment, the permit duration usually matches the sponsor's permit, where it's a 5-year card for spouses of Italian and EU citizens. LTR is possible after 5 years on this permit. And as we said, citizenship via marriage is the fastest track. Okay, so bottom line for family reunification, often the easiest and most beneficial path if you have those genuine, immediate family connections already established in Italy. It grants immediate work rights. And even if you didn't qualify for citizenship directly, you might inherit opportunities through closer family. Maybe a sibling or cousin qualifies under the new rules, gets citizenship, and could sponsor others later on. Now we're moving into pathways that generally involve a bit more complex bureaucracy. Next up is the self-employment visa. This is for individuals who want to be their own boss in Italy.
Out. Setting up shop as a freelancer, professional, or maybe a small business owner. The core idea, prove you can establish and sustain a living through your own independent activity. Requirements vary depending on what you plan to do. You'll often need proof of professional qualifications or licenses, especially if it's a regulated profession in Italy. A key step is usually getting a certificate of no impediment, the nulla osta, from the relevant Italian authority, maybe the Chamber of Commerce or a specific professional body. They'll vet your business plan and qualifications. You also need to demonstrate you have sufficient funds or capital to get started and support yourself. The source mentions a historical figure of around 17,000 euros, but realistically, you'll need more substantial savings or a solid income projection.
And this category is subject to quotas, isn't it? The decree of floozy?
Historically, very much so. The visa category has often been subject to strict annual quotas, which meant a competitive online application process, the click day, where slots filled incredibly quickly.
Sounds stressful.
It was. Laws around quotas are evolving, moving toward multi-year quotas and potentially more flexibility, but quotas remain a potential hurdle. You'll also need a clean criminal record, proof of accommodation, and you might even need to get an Italian tax card or start parts of company formation before you can apply.
Wow. Okay, so the major obstacles sound significant. Labyrinthine.
That's often how it's described. You need that Italian pre-approval, deal with quotas, and getting foreign credentials recognized can be a headache. Many people find it almost essential to hire professional help.
What about work rights once you get it?
You're authorized to work in the specific self-employment activity approved. Once you have the permit and your VAT number, you can generally engage in any lawful self-employment activity. You just can't take up regular employment as an employee. The permit is renewable annually, provided your business remains active and generates sufficient income. It counts toward LTR after 5 years and citizenship after 10.
And the source mentioned the startup visa is kind of related.
Yes, it's a specific and generally smoother subset, which brings us to the Italy startup visa.
Specifically for entrepreneurs launching innovative startups?
Exactly. This is designed to attract foreign entrepreneurs starting genuinely innovative businesses in Italy. And the huge advantage is that it's exempt from the quota system.
That's the key benefit. So what are the requirements? You still need funding.
Yes. Funding is crucial. You need a minimum 50,000 euro investment commitment to the startup. It can be your own capital, funds from investors, or a mix, but you have to show the money is legitimate and earmarked for the company.
And the idea itself needs to be genuinely innovative.
You need a detailed business plan for a product or service that involves technology, new methodologies, or meets criteria related to research and development investment, a highly skilled team, or holding patents. You have to be a founder or a key member of the startup team.
How does the application process work? Easier than the general self-employment one?
Generally, yes, it's more streamlined. It's a two-step process. First, you apply online to the Italia Startup Visa Committee. They review your plan and issue an endorsement, essentially a faster nell'osta, often within about 30 days if all is well. Once you have that endorsement, you apply for the actual visa at the Italian consulate in your home country.
And you still need to show you can support yourself personally too, right?
Yes. Besides the 50,000 for the business, you need to demonstrate you had a minimum personal income of around 8,500 euros in the previous year, just to show you can live initially.
Main obstacles: convincing the committee your idea is solid and proving the capital.
Exactly. And the committee might expect to see evidence of more funding if your plan clearly requires it. You still have to set up the company structure after you arrive, but that part is relatively less complex.
The advantages seem compelling. No quota, streamlined process, very compelling. A high approval rate for applications that meet the criteria, initial 1 year permit renewable. You can work full time on the startup. Family can join, and it counts toward LTR. It's framed as a positive way to contribute innovation while reconnecting with Italy.
Great option for funded innovative entrepreneurs. Now, finally, we get to the most traditional route: work permits or employment visas. The ones usually tied to the quota system, getting hired by an Italian company, right? the classic path. Core idea, you need an Italian employer who wants to hire you and is willing to sponsor your visa.
Requirements start with the job offer. The employer has to apply for your work authorization, the nulla osta, but they can usually do this only when the government announces the quotas, typically annually, and your job must fit into one of those quota slots.
Exactly. Quotas are often limited by sector and sometimes by the applicant's country of origin. Different types. Seasonal work, often agriculture or tourism, allows up to 9 months. Larger quotas, slightly lower requirements. Then non-seasonal work for longer-term positions with stricter standards on salary and contract. Is there any way around the quotas?
One significant route for highly skilled workers is the EU Blue Card. If you have a university degree, a high-skilled job offer, and a salary significantly above the average threshold around 34,000 euro, your employer can apply for an EU Blue Card. This route is outside the quota system and usually grants an initial 2-year permit.
Blue Card avoids the quota madness. So, main obstacles for the standard quota-based permit?
Significant. Finding a job in Italy as a non-EU citizen can be challenging. Language skills, unemployment in some sectors. Then your profile and job must fit a limited quota category. Historically, the click day process felt like a lottery.
And with a standard permit, you're tied to that employer.
Yes, though changing jobs later is possible with procedures. Processing times for the nulla osta and getting the residence permit can be slow.
Right, so once you have it, family can join?
Yes. You can usually sponsor your spouse and minor children immediately, and spouses on dependent permits can work freely. Continuous legal work residence counts toward LTR after 5 years. You'll need an A2 Italian language test and sufficient income and citizenship after 10 years. Usually requiring B1 Italian. There's a proposed law that might shorten that to 5 years for employed residents.
So bottom line for standard work permits, direct route if you land the job, but practically challenging unless you're highly skilled for a blue card, willing to do temporary seasonal work, or you find that rare employer ready for the quota maze.
That sums it up well. Now, as the source does, let's step back and look at how other countries handle similar situations, descendants and attracting talent. Because comparing Italy's more restrictive landscape to others really highlights differences and lessons.
For instance, France's Profession Liberale Visa is clearer, has a lower income threshold, maybe around 18,000, and isn't subject to quotas.
Or the Netherlands with the DAFT treaty visa for American entrepreneurs, remarkably low investment, roughly 14,400 euros, very different from Italy's hurdles.
Portugal often comes up. Their D1 passive income visa has a much lower threshold than Italy's ERV, around 9,000 a year, and their D8 digital nomad visa is clearly defined.
Spain, too, it has a nomad visa and a non-lucrative visa with a slightly lower financial bar than Italy's elective residence visa.
Crucially, regarding descendants, other countries offer residency based on ancestry without giving full citizenship. The UK's ancestry visa lets you live and work there if you have a grandparent born in the UK with permanent settlement after 5 years.
Ireland offers citizenship registration for those with an Irish-born grandparent, and Spain's recent memory law granted citizenship pathways to descendants of Civil War exiles. A very different approach.
Pulling it together, what could Italy learn?
Find ways to be more flexible and inclusive. People with genuine ancestral ties or valuable skills could benefit from easier financial requirements, clearer rules for remote work, or a dedicated ancestry-based residency visa.
Maybe like the UK's model, offering residency, the right to work, and a predictable path to naturalization.
Simplifying bureaucracy, digitizing applications, transparent criteria would help, even handling ancestry residency permit at local communes rather than swamped consulates.
Also lowering income thresholds or officially allowing remote work under the elective residence visa could make Italy more competitive.
Exactly. By staying restrictive, Italy risks losing talented individuals to Portugal or Spain, which actively court them with clearer, more accessible schemes. So wrapping up, while the Hussanguinis reform was a huge disappointment, the main message is resilience. Don't give up on your Italian aspirations.
It is far from impossible to live in Italy legally. These residency pathways, elective residence, digital nomad, study, family, self-employment, startup, even standard work permit, they do exist.
And every one of these routes provides a pathway to citizenship by naturalization, usually after 10 years of continuous residence, or just 2 if you marry an Italian citizen.
Those dreams, retiring peacefully, working remotely from a village piazza, studying in Florence, starting a business, they're still achievable. It just requires navigating a visa instead of automatic citizenship.
Yes, you'll encounter bureaucracy. This is Italy, dopo tutto, but see it as hoops to jump through on the way to something worthwhile.
Italy itself faces an aging population and declining birth rate. Becoming more welcoming could be win-win. The promised oriundi permit and faster naturalization for workers might be steps in that direction.
Boom. If Italy is genuinely in your heart, there is likely a way to make living there happen. It may involve paperwork and a leap of faith, but the reward of actually living that dream can make the hurdles part of the adventure.
Beautifully put. Benvenuti in Italia. Welcome to Italy. The path may differ from what you first imagined, but for many, the destination is worth the effort.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into Italy's new citizenship landscape and, crucially, the alternative pathways that are still available.
We hope this exploration has brought clarity, answered pressing questions, and maybe rekindled hope for your own Italian aspirations, despite the recent changes.
We encourage you to look closely at the visa options we covered today, see which aligns with your situation, finances, and goals.
And remember, resources are out there. Experts like the team at Magic Towns Italy, whose insights form the backbone of today's discussion, exist to help you navigate the bureaucracy. Don't feel you have to do it alone.
And we'd love to hear your thoughts or questions on this topic. Join the discussion wherever you follow our content.
We wish you the very best of luck with your Italian plans.
Thank you for listening to this special edition Magic Towns Italy podcast. Magic Towns offers unbiased, expert guidance on moving to Italy and is the home of the Town Explorer, which allows you to filter almost 2,000 towns in Italy according to your personal criteria like distance from airports, air quality, healthcare, education, and much more. Insights you will not find anywhere else. Get 20% off an annual subscription with the code podcast. Thank you again for listening. Our main podcast is published every Saturday at 9 a.m. Rome time.